This morning's sermon is called Construction Time Again. And what the staff and I do in terms of picking sermon titles is I look at the calendar of scripture that's coming up and I try and fit something into the scripture that I'm planning on preaching on maybe 6 to 8 weeks in advance. That's at least my goal. And I gave this title and this scripture selection to Linda and to the secretaries many weeks ago, Construction Time Again. And it seemed to fit with Isaiah's prophecy about making straight the way of the Lord and about the highway that goes from foreign places to our God. And it seemed to fit. And it was a little bit of a joke because for those of you who know me well, my wife is handier than I am. She knows better how to use a hammer and a drill and those sorts of things. So I thought it was kind of clever. I thought I was being cute. Construction time again with somebody who's not all that great at constructing things. So that's sort of the prologue for the sermon this morning. But this week, Wednesday morning, I went down to my basement, and we had set up the basement to say there was a space for me to say my prayers and this very Bible and this book here that has my prayer list of people that I am praying for were in the basement. And I went down to gather my prayer things and to say my prayers, and then I was going to come up the stairs from the basement and come here into the office to go to work. And when I went down the basement stairs, I happened to notice that the floor looked a little bit funny and that there was a little bit of water on the floor. And I couldn't see in the dim light of the basement how much water it was. And I called out to Jennifer and I said, "Jennifer, I think we've got a problem. I think there's a little bit of water on the floor." And then I turned on the light to look, and I realized it was quite a bit more than a little bit of water. It was about 6 inches of water. But my call Jennifer had heard it, but it had also called Miriam and Elizabeth, my two daughters, to stand at the top of the steps. So they're right behind me. I'm on the steps looking down into the basement. And the thing that I wanted to say when I noticed that there were 6 inches of water on the floor of the basement was very unprayer-like and not suitable for the two children behind me. So I had to be quiet. And I said, "Don't worry, we'll figure something out." I was not very happy. But I've spent Wednesday on this week doing construction time again, cleanup. It has been cleanup around our house. And what surprised me in dealing with the insurance company and dealing with all the cleaning up, what pained me the most to lose, it wasn't that we didn't lose a lot of things. I mean, it was relatively minor. It could have been a lot worse. But I did lose some of the collectible books that I had, and I probably lost the most valuable thing in my collection, and I thought that perhaps would pain me the most. And I lost a few pictures that we had brought home from Germany. I thought maybe that would bother me. But the things that bothered me the most, and that I didn't know we had lost initially, but when I opened up some boxes and found that they had gotten soaked, I found notes from a grade school paper that I had turned in when I was in elementary school. I found notes from a paper that I turned in seminary 15 years ago, and it had notes on it from a professor who I just found out 2 weeks ago she passed away from a brain tumor. And my kindergarten class portrait was totally soaked through, totally soaked through. Now, the other stuff was sad and disappointing. But what really pained me and what really emotionally surprised me was this stuff that, for the insurance adjuster, what? It's a bunch of paper. It would have been a couple pennies to replace. Wouldn't have been very difficult. But that's the stuff that actually pained me to lose it. And what struck me as interesting is that when John the Baptist says in his message, "Produce fruit that bears keeping with repentance," and "Avoid the fire of judgment," He's talking about losing some things that are very painful to us. The word repentance in verses 2 and 8 of Matthew chapter 3. Repentance means metanoia in Greek. Repentance means an internal change of direction, but not just an internal change of direction, but an internal change of direction that leads to a real external change in how you're doing things. It means that John the Baptist is asking those people who are being baptized in the Jordan River to lose all those memories, to leave their kindergarten portraits behind, and to start a new life today. To leave some things that might be very painful in order to start something entirely new today. Now, if you think I might be putting that too broadly, think about the disciples of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus were good at what? They were fishermen. They were good at fishing. They knew how to fish. They were excellent at it. They were experts. They were not public relations people. They were not trained in the scriptures. They were not trained in healing and teaching. And yet when Jesus comes and says, "Come, follow me," he is asking them to turn aside from a life that they had built, from a business that they had built, from everything that they had built to get to this point, to become a success in fishing, and to take this leap of faith to bear fruit in the kingdom of God. That is about as radical a change as you can get. And John the Baptist reminds his hearers again and again and again that you have to turn your back on some things that may be very painful to you in order to follow Jesus. When John the Baptist says, "Don't say that we have Abraham as our father because God could make these stones children of Abraham," John the Baptist is saying no one is safe from the judgment just because of who their parents are. We're all good people. We are all people who try to do what's right. We try and do what God wants us to do. We're all decent, moral people. We don't cheat on our taxes. We try and do what we can. But at the same time, we still have to appear before Christ. And that will require a radical change in who we are and what we do. Matthew points out that John the Baptist is the one spoken about in Isaiah chapter 40. A voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make in the desert a highway for our God. Make straight the paths for our God." Matthew quotes Isaiah because Isaiah was writing about 600 years before Christ. And he's writing to people who have been forcibly removed from Jerusalem. They were invaded by the Babylonians. They were taken out of Jerusalem. They were forced from their homes by the army. They were taken to Babylon, which is modern-day Baghdad, Iraq. They were forced to live there. And the reason the Babylonians did that is they didn't want any of the Jews getting together to overthrow them. So they took away all the people who could read, all the blacksmiths who could make swords. They took away everybody who could start any sort of revolution or political discontent. And they moved them to Babylon so that the Babylonians could keep a closer eye on them. And what Isaiah is prophesying is that there will come a time, and that time will be a time when there will be a highway from Babylon straight back to your home in Jerusalem. And that highway will be broad and straight. It will be a highway without potholes. It will be a highway in which a great many people could come in a formation somewhat like a parade. Chariots, marching people. And Isaiah says, work on constructing that road. Work on constructing that road on which these chariots are going to go down, leading people out of Babylon and out of slavery and into Jerusalem. Work on constructing that road so that the chariots can get through, so that it is broad enough and wide enough, so that the exiles can all fit through, walking 7, 8, 9, 10 abreast. Flags and chariots and singing songs. You don't want potholes. You don't want You don't want it to be dirty. You don't want the road to be too narrow. You don't want it to be too windy, or you do not want it to be unsafe. So Isaiah says, work on building that road, both literally and figuratively. What's going to get you back to Jerusalem? So fast forward those 400 years, John the Baptist says that highway that was created 400 years ago when the exiles did return to Jerusalem, that highway is now all pitted and ruined again because the Romans came and invaded. And now the Jews are living under the thumb of the world's most powerful army. The leaders of Israel are corrupt and are merely doing what the Roman overlords tell them to do. Taxes are going out of Israel to pay salaries of the Roman governors. Too many people are saying, well, yeah, things are bad, but at least we're better than those Egyptians. Yeah, things are bad, but at least we Israelites are better than those people in Rome. Why should we change? Why should we repent? We're not nearly as bad as our Roman overlords. And John the Baptist says, no, it has to start internally. It has to start with repentance, a change of direction in your heart that leads to a change of direction out here. And John the Baptist paints a picture. He paints a picture when judgment comes. When the Messiah comes, he will have what? He will have an axe. He will have fire and wrath. Notice the words. All images that Jesus or that John the Baptist uses are all images of destruction. When your beloved things are lost in the flood or burned in the fire, what will you have? When your irreplaceable records from your school days go down to the insurance adjuster, what will be left? Will you just stand next to those ruined boxes? Will you just stand next to that pile of stuff which is now junk and say, well, it was all in there someplace? Or, and this is the alternative that John wants you to choose, or will you be out there on the road? Will you be out there on the road filling the potholes, your clothes soaked with sweat, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked? Will you be out there in the sanctuary looking for God and looking for God's children out there in the world instead of resting on your laurels? John the Baptist invites us to make a choice. And the choice is between relative safety, to stay and be a good fisherman, to do what you are good at, the safe choice, what you have built a lifetime on to make yourself a success, or to follow this coming Messiah, to follow this Jesus who says, if you follow me, you will have to give up some very painful things. You will have to give up some things that you're very good at. You will have to give up some things that may cause you pain. But come and follow me. The Messiah's axe is in his hand. He is standing at the foot of the tree. And he's ready to do one of two things. He's either going to chop down the tree, or he's going to pluck the good fruit from it. And I pray that each and every one of us, each and every person here, may repent and bear good fruit, the fruit of repentance. Amen.